I happened to see a video of a young man who wanted to speak his mind after what happened in Tunisia. And I was incredibly impressed, so much so that I tracked him down and wanted to talk to him. And Haseeb Ahmed is with us. Hello.
Hi there. How are you doing? Are you okay?
I'm very well indeed. I'm very well indeed. It's weird, isn't it, with because I know you've been on Asia Today and quite a few programmes, and it's gone viral, and we'll talk about it. Tell us, first of all, who you are. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I'm just your average, normal guy, I suppose. I'm based in Oxfordshire. I work in Birmingham. I'm a normal, average Joe, I suppose. Just a normal, hardworking guy.
Right.
28 years old. But yeah, like I said, just a normal guy, just like everyone else.
Now, before you did the video, how angry did you, or how hurt, or how irritated did you get about the bad press that Muslim people have been having?
Yeah, it's frustrating. I mean, as a Muslim, I suppose I look at things slightly differently to maybe how non-Muslims will look at certain things in the media. And, you know, I think in this day and age, Muslims in general do get bad press. And it is frustrating because, you know, I think there is perhaps an underlying political agenda behind some of the stories that we read. I mean, just to give you an example, I've seen several stories in the media, you know, Muslim man rapes woman, or Muslim man steals, or Muslim man robs. You know, whether you go into a shop, if you go into a shop and you rob something, it's irrelevant whether you're Muslim or you're not.
Let me interrupt you there. I mean, they don't put Christian man robs, Christian man rapes.
Exactly. And that's, you know, people notice these things, and it adds frustration, and all of these things, you know, when you add them together, it's, in my opinion, it's one of the biggest reasons why there is probably a bit of a breakdown in trust when it comes to modern day society.
Haseeb, how long has it been going on? When did you notice, growing up as a British citizen, when did you start to notice there was a problem, or has there always been an underlying problem?
I think there probably has always been a problem. I mean, I've heard stories from when my dad was growing up here in the UK. I mean, he was here since the age of 11, and you always hear those stories passed down, you know, generation to generation. I think, if I'm honest with you, I think I've realised it since probably post 9/11. Much like everyone, I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing on that horrendous day. You know, I was at the barbers myself, and I was only young back then, back in school. And I think since then I realized that things aren't as rosy as, you know, one would want them to be. But growing up, you do take an interest in these things, and then you do realize that there is an underlying, you know, institutionalized, agenda here, I suppose, whether you call it institutionalized racism or institutionalized prejudice, or, you know, however you want to phrase it, it does exist. And I think people need to know that.
We get a lot on this program, why don't they go back home? Go back home where? You were born here, weren't you? So this is your home.
I was born here, bred here. I'm just as British as everyone else. I love the country. I love the English flag, the Union Jack. I wear it proudly. I wear my England football shirt. I go to football games. You know, I'm as British as anyone. When they say to me, you know, if they were to say to me, go back home, you know, where do they expect me to go? Back to Oxfordshire?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Right. You put this video up, which has gone viral, and I know it's shocked you because we've spoken. We don't know each other, but we've spoken, and you've really been surprised. First of all, what pushed you to the limit to actually make this video? And then tell us about the video.
So I think I was just reading some comments on my Facebook page, and some of the comments that I was reading was pretty much along the same lines in terms of, why aren't more Muslims, or why aren't Muslims in general, condemning terrorism? It's about time Muslims say something. It's about time Muslims stand up against terrorism. Are they on the same side? So those kind of things kind of just got me thinking there and then. And, you know, it wasn't anything that I planned. It wasn't anything that I had written down or scripted. You know, if you've seen the video, you'll see I'm sat in my car with a pair of sunglasses on, and it's very, very much just off the cuff. So, like I said, it wasn't anything that was planned. I literally just pressed record on my phone and just started talking, and whatever came to my head, I pretty much just said it.
So you had no idea what was going to happen to this video?
Oh, no. No, it's pretty surreal, to be honest with you. It's hit 3 million people, you know, now, and it reached the 3 million mark yesterday, and obviously it's a phenomenal number to reach. It's overwhelming, to be honest with you, but it's good that there's been so much support, because the message that I was trying to convey was one of positivity, and one that, you know, is a positive message to the rest of the UK. And I'm very glad that, you know, the support has been there. It's been very overwhelming.
Now, when you did the video, you just put it up on Facebook. When did you realize something was happening with it?
I think after the first evening, it probably reached about 5,000-7,000 views, or 5,000-7,000 views. No, I didn't think of anything then. You know, I had a few likes, a couple of hundred likes on the video. I think it was probably about 2 days afterwards when it reached about 1 million. And that's when I thought, wow, okay, 1 million's quite a lot. I've not seen that for a long time on any videos from friends that I've ever seen post on Facebook. And then it started going, and then it got to the point where me and my brother were sat at home, and we looked at the number, and then we pressed refresh, and it went up by about 5,000 people in a second. And then we pressed it again, and it just kept on going and going and going. So I think at that point, when I was sat with my brother and we were just looking at it, I think that's when I realized, okay, this is pretty unusual, and this is probably something special.
Did you worry about it in the end? Did you think, whoa, what have I done?
No, not at all. You know, I was asked the question by a couple of friends earlier today if I'm worried about the consequences or if I'm scared at all. Not at all. You know, I'm one of these people that believes in freedom of speech. I'm one of these people that believes that everyone has a right to their own opinion. As long as it doesn't cause, you know, harm to any other human being, I believe that is a freedom that you should have. Now, that is my opinion. It's a personal opinion. You know, I don't, you know, I'm not scared of anything happening to me. I probably should be, but I'm not. At the end of the day, my intention was very pure. It was a very, you know, warm-hearted message that I was trying to give out, a very positive message. And I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be scared because of something that could happen. At the end of the day, that message has gone out to 3 million people, and the amount of messages that I've had come back to me saying that I've made a positive impact on their lives, you know, even if it was just one person to come back to me say that I've made a positive impact on their life, that would be enough for me. But to have hundreds and thousands of people messaging me saying that it's changed their views on race and religion, they're no longer racist, they're no longer thinking that everyone's the same, you know, you can't really ask for much more than that. It means that you've helped contribute to a better society that we live in. And that's, like I said, that's very, very overwhelming. It's a great feeling to have.
Well, what's interesting about it, Haseeb, is the fact that it is so simple. It stopped me in my tracks. It's just a simple statement. It's you sitting in your car just being a normal human being who's upset about what happened in Tunisia and said, hey, we're not all the same. And in fact, you say, you quote, you know, the Quran, that there's one particular about killing. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so basically, I mean, I've always been brought up, you know, questioning my religion, not in the sense of questioning it because I thought it was wrong, but I'm one of these people that needs to, if I don't understand something, I'll go out and I'll try and understand it. So I obviously grew up at a time post 9/11 where, you know, people are on the TV and they're saying that I'm killing in the name of Islam. And so for me, it got me thinking. I wanted to make sure that, you know, the religion that I've been believing in, the religion that I've been following, wasn't actually an advocate for murder. So I've read the Quran, I've done my research, and it clearly states that killing one person is the same as killing the whole of humanity. Now, you can't get much clearer than that. And, you know, the rest of the 1.8 billion Muslims that are living peacefully in this world, they abide my religion by that quote. So, you know, it's very clear. There is no reason why anyone should kill somebody, you know, for the sake of it, especially, you know, to the killing and the extent of the killing that, you know, terrorist organizations like ISIS are committing. There's no reason for it. There's no justification. And no matter how much they try and hide behind the religion, it's wrong. And that is the message that I was trying to say.
When you look back and you speak to your friends, I mean, how important is, for instance, your religion to you? Are you a staunch Muslim?
I'd like to say I'm a Muslim who tries to better himself every day. I fast, I pray, I go to the mosque, I give to charity, I respect my elders, I respect people. These are the main things that you're supposed to be looking at when you talk about religion. It's about how you live, and it's about how you treat one another. Those are the main concepts of my religion. You know, treating people with respect, loving everyone, loving people. You know, I wouldn't want to harm anybody, and that is a massive part of my religion. You know, I like to think that I'm a good person. I have good intentions. I have a good, pure heart. And I'll always try and help someone if I can. And that is because of the foundation that I have in my life, and that is Islam. You know, and I think everyone's different at the end of the day. You know, whether you're Christian, whether you're, you know, a Hindu or a Sikh or a Buddha, or if you're a Muslim, everyone will have their own God, their own belief. But at the end of the day, it's their foundation of who they are, and it's their identity. And my identity lies within my faith. And, you know, I'm a peaceful person, but that is because of the religion that I follow.
What do people, your friends, your circle of friends who are Muslims, and I'm sure you've got many people from all walks of life and all sort of religions, but what do they say about ISIS? Are they worried?
I think they're worried the same way that the rest of the world is worried, and that is about what these guys are doing and why they're killing. You know, we together as a community are worried, and we should be worried, because they're a very dangerous organization who have absolutely no place in modern day society. As far as I'm concerned, they're a terrorist organization who want to live modern in the modern world, but with a set of rules from, you know, 1400 years ago. They talk about beheadings and you know, crucifixions and slavery. These kind of things were things that were happening 1400 years ago. If you actually look at Islam, I'll give you an example of slavery. You know, if you look at Islam, the first person to actually give the call to prayer was Bilal, who was actually a black slave. Now, in Islam, it teaches us about how wrong slavery is, and it talks to us about equality and how we shouldn't indulge with slavery. Now, that was 1400 years ago. Now, slavery was only abolished in the modern world probably around 200 years ago. So if we're going to look at the bad, I think we need to look at the good as well. Going back to your point, I mean, I'm not worried myself about what things will happen to me, but I am worried about the organization, because they're a very dangerous group who are very, very confused as to, you know, what the religion that they apparently follow actually tells them to do.
In fact, they've hijacked your religion, haven't they?
They've hijacked the faith. They've hijacked the name of the faith. They've not hijacked the religion, because there are still 1.8 billion Muslims across the world who follow the religion peacefully. So I understand what you're trying to say. They have hijacked the name of the religion, and they're giving the name of the religion the bad name. But they have, you know, the vast majority, you know, 90% of the people in the world who are Muslim are peaceful Muslims, and they won't ever be able to hijack that. But they have hijacked the concept of Islam, and they have made it into a bad name, if you will, across the globe.
Talking to your friends and soul searching yourself, can you comprehend why these families have disappeared and taken children to Syria, to a war zone? Can you get your head around that?
You know, I don't want to say I understand it, and they can justify it, because they, you know, it's a very hard thing to do. I think there are underlying problems which which have led to people wanting to leave the UK and go to somewhere like Syria in support of a group called ISIS. I think there are several problems in modern day society. I think it's come to a point now where we need to tackle things head on. We need to address issues head on. We need to stop hiding behind PC and political correctness, because I think what's needed here right now is education. I think there are a lot of questions that non-Muslims have about the Islamic faith, which they want to ask questions about, but they're too scared to ask in case they cause offense. Now, that's not their fault. That's not non-Muslims' fault, because they, you know, just like anyone, if you have a question, you want to ask the question. Now, on the other side of things, Muslims are, you know, they don't necessarily trust, you know, the Western world or people in the West because of things like the media, that kind of thing. So you've got problems on both sides. I think the biggest thing for me and the biggest reason why somebody would want to go to Syria and join ISIS is because of a lack of identity and a confusion of their identity. Now, I'll give you an example. This is a complete hypothetical. I'm a British Muslim and my parents are Pakistani, so I have a Pakistani heritage. Now, if I was growing up and if I was a kid and, you know, if I was playing in a school, it wouldn't be uncommon for someone like me in an all-white school, for example, to feel out of place, because I would be playing with other, you know, with non-Muslims in school, and you know that there was a bit of a difference and you may struggle to fit in. Now, if you then go to, say, Pakistan, or if you're around a Pakistani environment, if you go, you know, to Pakistan on holiday, for example, with your mum and dad, people in Pakistan aren't going to look at you as Pakistani either. They're going to look at you as a British person because of the way you talk, the way you speak, the accent, the way you dress, the way you act, all your mannerisms. So you don't feel accepted that way either. So when you come back, neither do you feel that you're British and neither do you feel that you're Pakistani. So growing up, if you're still confused and if you haven't got over that identity crisis, you're then in a very vulnerable position where you're asking questions and you're seeking help and advice. And then this is a perfect time for someone like a hate preacher to come in, capitalize on that vulnerability and take advantage of a situation like that. And it's at that point when somebody will think, I want a better life. These guys are making me feel welcomed. These guys are making me feel like I belong to something. And then they have a purpose. And I think that's one of the reasons why people probably do end up going to Syria. It's very similar to, I think, to why somebody would join a gang. It's because the leader of the gang gives that person a sense of being, a sense of belonging, and makes them feel welcome and part of something. And I think that's one of, you know, the lack of identity is a massive issue that we need to address in this country. Moving on from the lack of identity, I think it's also the responsibility of parents as well to encourage other British Muslims to not be ashamed to be British and a Muslim and have your Pakistani heritage. You know, thankfully, I know who I am. I know my identity. I'm a British Muslim with Pakistani heritage. Now, I can be proud to be British, just like I am. I can also be proud to be a Muslim, and I can also be proud of my Pakistani heritage. I speak Urdu when I'm at home. I go to Pakistan once every year. You know, I eat my traditional food. I do my traditional things. But I also go out, I socialize, I go to football games, I eat fish and chips. I love the whole British culture. But at the same time, I pray, I do my charity, I do my religious duties. What I'm trying to say is it is possible to be British, it is possible to be Muslim, and it is possible to be, you know, to come from a Pakistani background or any other Asian background and be proud to have all of those things. You know, I think that's what we need to educate people in this country. You don't have to be one or the other. You can be all three of those things.
Your video went viral because of social media, and it's a new phenomenon, social media. But social media, the negative side is that these people from ISIS and these very manipulative people can also use Twitter, Facebook, etc. to suit them. What do we do about that, in your opinion?
Well, I think we need to understand who we're dealing with here. You know, when I was growing up and I was looking at organizations like the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and these kind of things, they were very old school. They were very kind of hide in your cave and attack, you know, counterattack. These guys aren't those kind of terrorists. These guys are very, very modern. They're well-educated. Tech, you know, in terms of technology, they're very, very good at what they're doing. So we need to establish that they're a completely different, organization to other terrorist groups that we have. Now, in terms of what we do, I think what we need to do is really kind of educate everyone. I think the key here is education. We need to educate people. We need to tell them what the difference is between a Muslim and what a non-Muslim is. We need to tell them what the difference between a Muslim and a terrorist is, because at the moment, I think there's a bit of, you know, there's a bit of confusion as to whether these two actually lap over or not. And I don't, you know, the message here is that they don't lap over. Muslims should be condemning ISIS just as much as non-Muslims, because ISIS are a terrorist organization that are tarnishing the Muslim name and the Muslim religion. So we, as Muslims, should be just as against ISIS as just as anybody else.
Do you understand, over several things that have happened, that other British people who are non-Muslims can see that Muslims aren't marching, standing up, talking like you are? Maybe now they're starting to, but, and we hear that imams within your churches, the mosques, actually speak out. But there's also still hatred from some imams that appears to be still going on.
Well, I think when it comes to the imams who are still preaching hatred across the UK, I think we need to be very tough with these guys. I think we need to put them in jail. We need to, if they are foreign, I think we need to, you know, we do need them to pack their bags, because they're not welcome here. You know, we need to be tight on these guys. But having said that, we need to make sure that they're given a fair trial, just like everybody else. What we can't do is be emotionally, responsible on when it comes to this kind of stuff. So we treat them just like everybody else, but we make sure that we're very, very firm. If they've come from other countries and if they're here preaching hate, we need to make sure they're very firm and we send them back. If they're born and bred here and if they're preaching hatred, then, you know, or if they're planning anything, then we need to make sure that we're just as firm, we put them in jail, we make examples out of these guys. When it comes to other Muslims not marching or not protesting or not, condemning these guys in public, I say, look, you know, I know that the very vast majority of Muslims that I know condemn terrorism as a whole. There is no Muslim that I know personally who supports terrorism. Every time we see on the news that somebody's lost their life because of terrorism, it's a very sad feeling for all of us. Now, I do think as Muslims, we need a bit of a platform to be able to make our voices heard. Now, I've been quite lucky in the situation where this video has gone viral via social media. But, you know, we need people, we need news channels to come and talk to us. We need the papers to come and take interviews off us. We need people to listen to us. You know, I'm not the only person to assume that I'm the first and only person to come out and speak against terrorism as a Muslim is ridiculous, because I'm not. I just so happen to have had the attention because of this video. I've spoken to so many people who have said, oh, you know what, you're the first Muslim to come out and condemn terrorism. And I said, I'm not. Not by a long shot. I am not the first. I won't be the last, but I'm 100% not the first. You may be the first person that you've seen, but I'm definitely not the first. But I think we need a bit of a platform. You know, look, if the government are serious about really, you know, sorting out issues in modern day society, I invite someone like David Cameron to come and talk to me. Talk to me as a British Muslim, and I'll talk to him and I'll tell him, you know, where we're going wrong as society. You know, because at the moment, you know, he's not sorting out the issues, I don't think. You know, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And people are getting more and more, frustrated. And there's a lot of lack of trust there at the moment. So if someone like David Cameron or people in the government want to actually sort these issues out, then talk to normal British Muslims like myself. Now, he doesn't have to come knock on my door, but if he wants to sort things out, talk to your average normal British Muslim guy, and they'll tell you exactly the same thing. We're all against terrorism. We just need a platform for people to hear us.
What do you say to British Christians who are fearful of Muslims and fearful that they're going to take over this country? Because that is one of the fears that comes over, sadly, on this phone in regularly.
Well, the Muslim population in Great Britain at the moment stands at between 4% and 5%. So if we're realistic, there's no threat of a massive Muslim takeover in this country. You know, for those Christians or non-Muslims who may feel as if, you know, the religion's taking over or they need to be scared, look, you don't need to be scared because of Muslims in this country. What you need to be scared of is people like ISIS. And there's a clear difference between the two. You know, me walking down the street, I'm somebody who's going to walk down, I'm going to smile when I walk past you and say, have a good day. I'm not the kind of person that's going to strap a bomb to himself and scare you. Do you know what I mean? So we need to understand that there is a difference between Muslims and terrorism. That is the first thing that we need to do. We need to understand that not all Muslims are terrorists. You know, you can come with the argument that all terrorists are Muslims, but if you look deep down in history, that's incorrect. But, you know, there's a population in the world of 1.8 billion Muslims. You know, if all of us were terrorists, then we'd probably all be extinct.
Excuse me, sir. I went to speak then, coughed at the same time. Excuse me to apologise. To finish off, first of all, how do people find you? Because they will want to see the video.
Well, it's on YouTube. The name of the title is A Message to ISIS from a British Muslim. You know, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter as well. You can find me on Twitter at Haseeb1986. So that's at Haseeb1986. I've obviously got my YouTube channel as well. Mm-hmm. Now, what I'm trying to do is spread awareness, and I'm trying to help spread the message of positivity. Now, I'm trying to do that by trending on Twitter with the hashtag Let's Unite. Now, the message behind that is very simple. Regardless of race, regardless of color, creed, religion, you know, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What we should be doing is all standing together as one unity, as one Great Britain, standing up against terrorism. Now, it doesn't matter if you're Muslim, if you're Hindu, if you're Sikh, if you're Christian, if you're black, if you're white. All of us need to stand together hand in hand, and we need to fight against terrorism. You know, ISIS have no place in modern day society. The overall majority of British Muslims condemn ISIS, and we're against terrorism. We're fighting the same fight just as the non-Muslims are here in this country. You know, if you actually look at it, ISIS have actually killed 10 times more Muslims than non-Muslims. So they're fighting ways apparently their own people. Now, Muslims in the UK and non-Muslims in the UK, I'm urging everyone to stand together and fight terrorism. But do it standing together. You know, don't cause divides. Don't have divides. We're all people. We're all humans. But we're all British. That's the main thing. We're all British. So we need to be standing together against terrorism. That's the message here.
Last question. Have you had much negativity?
You always, the thing is, when your video goes out to 3 million people, you're always going to get a few trolls here and there. But, you know, I've counted four negative responses. I think I had one negative response, and he was actually Asian, a Muslim himself. And he basically made a response video saying about how I'm mentally ill because I'm asking Muslims to apologize. And, you know, he brought up the issue of Palestine. You know, I've said about how much of an atrocity it was in Tunisia, but why didn't I bring up Palestine and what goes on in there? And the thing is, you know, to answer that question, I've never once asked anyone to apologize for anything. You know, just because what ISIS are doing doesn't mean that anyone should apologize on their behalf. Mm-hmm. I'm not apologizing for what they do because I haven't done anything. They're using the name of Islam incorrectly when they're doing these killings. Therefore, I'm not going to apologize for anything. I've got nothing to apologize for. What I will do, though, and what I will urge everyone else to do, is condemn ISIS as an organization, condemn what they do, because that's what we should be doing. In terms of Palestine, I mean, that's a massive issue in itself. Yeah. And it also leads to one of the frustrations and the things that contributes to the lack of trust from the Muslim community across the world. Mm-hmm. You know, we always see in the papers about things that are happening in the world, but Palestine gets very little media attention. Now, what's going on in Palestine is a human crime. You know, day by day, innocent Palestinian children are being killed by Israeli army forces. Now, we as a human race have failed Palestine. You know, it saddens me to say that because, you know, anyone who watches children dying and everyone who sees children dying, obviously it upsets them. But when you can't expect children in Palestine who have, you know, stones and rocks and they're chucking them at tanks to defend themselves against tanks. It's ridiculous. And this is all because of the illegal Israeli occupation that is going on over there. That's a whole new separate topic which we can talk about for hours and hours and hours. But, you know, it's things like this that need to be addressed. And like I said, it's something that contributes to the lack of trust that we have in modern-day society today.
Have you had any religious leaders contact you?
I haven't, but I urge them to come and speak to me if they are true about condemning terrorism, and if they really want the best things as well, as much as I do for this country, come and talk to me. And let's do something. Let's get a rally going. Let's create a group. Let's create a pressure group. Let's show everybody who has any doubts about Muslims in this country, let's show them that we are all united. We do have the same common goal. You know, I urge everyone who can help, you know, whether it's the media, whether it's the government, whether it's, you know, other big leaders, big names in the UK. I urge all of these guys to come and talk to me and let's help the situation in this country. You know, because at the moment, things are very dire in this country when it comes to social divide. You know, we need to be able to work together collectively as a country. You know, this is the thing. Everyone talks about being patriotic and let's be nationalist here. I'm patriotic. I'm a nationalist as well. So I'm urging everyone in the country to get behind this movement and let's start something where we can actually make a difference. Because this time last week, I didn't think I could make a difference. 1 week later, there's 3 million people who have heard my voice and we're making a difference. So just think, if we actually had the resources, if we actually had the support from leaders, from the government, from the media, just think how much positivity we can actually spread across the country.
Haseeb, you were sitting in your car, minding your own business, upset what had happened in Tunisia. You made a video. Can you believe that you are where you are today with it?
There's a long way to go if we want to head in that same direction. You know, at the end of the day, all I want to do is be able to help make a positive change. That's the only intention that I have, is to help people understand that, you know, we shouldn't be divided. We should stand together as one country. Let's make a positive change. You know, it's overwhelming, the response I've had and the attention that the video has got. But if we look at it in context, if we look at the transcript, I've not said anything that is that overpowering. I've not made any massive statements or any ridiculous over-the-top statements. I've said things, if you read it in your head, you'll see that it's just a normal statement. But it's a beauty of that the whole UK is behind this message. Yeah. And that's one thing that I need to do. I need to thank the people that have supported this message. Just goes to show that it's a testament being in this country, because you guys who have supported this message, you guys who have, you know, liked the comments, liked the video, shared the video, commented on the video, all of these people are contributing to helping spread the message of positivity. That's what you guys have done. So everyone who's contributed to that should be really, really pleased with themselves, because you guys have been fantastic.
And how can they find the video again?
So if you go onto my YouTube channel, so it's Haseeb Ahmed 786, or you can go onto my Twitter, which is at Haseeb 1986.
Young man, thank you very much for joining me.
No worries. Thank you very much for having me. Much appreciated. Have a good evening. Okay.